Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver Olea HaShalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Tezvov Amid Aleph, two lines from the top of the Amid, in the middle of the line with the words Bar Kapora. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Yud Amid Beis. We are in the middle of a sugya that began on Daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis when Rav Yassa came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that when the Shliach Tzibur was saying Moedim, that the Tzibur was Malachshin, they were murmuring something, and he said to the assembled, Mahu Dein Lechisha, what is this murmuring? And the Gemara was amazed at Rav Yassa's question, because didn't Rav Yassa hear the various Nuschois of Moedim Derabbanan that the Tzibur says while the Shliach Tzibur is saying the regular Moedim? And so far, we have already had three different texts of the Moedim Derabbanan. There is another one, the one we say in the Gemara in the Bavli site, the Daf Mem Amid Aleph. And what we're about to learn now from Bar Kapora is a fourth version of Moedim Derabbanan, which the Yerushalmi is bringing us. And after we finish this fourth version, we are going to attempt to answer what, in fact, was Rav Yassa so puzzled about, because certainly he was aware that there are various versions of Moedim Derabbanan, and that the people were murmuring one of those versions. Begins the Gemara, Bar Kapora Amar. Bar Kapora gives the fourth version of the Yerushalmi, which is L'cha Kriya, to you the Rabbeinu Shalom is Kriya, which we've learned in the previous shir, that according to Yerushalmi, Kriya and Kida is the same thing. And Kida means where one puts his thumbs on the ground and he lowers himself down to the ground. L'cha Kefifa, to you Hashem is bending. L'cha Hishtachavoya, to you Hashem is prostrating. L'cha Bericha, to you Hashem is kneeling. Because every knee will kneel to you, Hashem. Tishava koloshen, every tongue will swear to you. Lecho Hashem agdula, to you, Hashem, is greatness, vagavura, and strength, vatiferis, and splendor, vahanetzach, and triumph, vahoid, and glory. Kichoil bashamayim uvaoretz. Because even everything that is in heaven and earth, L'cho Hashem HaMamlocha, to you Hashem is kingdom, v'hamisnasi l'chol l'roish, and you have sovereignty over every leader, v'ho'oishir and wealth, v'kovid and honor, milfonecha, they all come from you, v'ata moishel b'koil, and you rule over everything, u'biyotchan, and your hand is koyach, power, u'gvura, strength, u'viyotcha, and in your hand, legadel, you can give that greatness to others, u'lechazek, and to give them strength, lakol, to everyone. Va'ata lekenu. So now, our Hashem, moedim anachtuloch, we thank you, Hashem, u'mahalim l'shem tvartecha, and we praise your splendorous name, b'cholev u'chol nefesh mishtachvim, we prostrate ourselves in front of you with our entire heart and soul. Kol atzmoisai taimar no Hashem yichamoicha, all my limbs will proclaim who is like you, Hashem. Matzal ani michozak mimenu, you save the poor person from one who is stronger than him. Va'ani ve'evyon, and the poor and the destitute, migoizle, from the one who robs him. Baruch ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Kelo Hadois, the God of Thanksgiving. And now we need to answer the question on Rav Yassa, what was he wondering as to what the people were murmuring during the Moedim of the Shatz? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yudin, this is a teretz, this is an answer, and so says the Marav Fulda. The answer, the way the Marav Fulda learns, Nahagin Rabbanin Amrin Kulan. There were Rabbanan who used to take all the four versions and put them together and use that as the Moedim Derabbanan. But ve'ista amrin oy hada oy hada. But there were others who chose one of the four versions. They either said one or the other. And Rabbi Yassa had the custom to say one of the versions. And therefore, when he saw the people were murmuring for a long time, of course, as the Marav Fulda explains, Rav Yassa knew that the people were saying Moedim Drabanan, but it was taking so long. He wasn't aware that their minig was to say all the four versions together, which took a long time. That's what Rav Yassa was wondering. Tani, we learned in a braisa, Uvulvad Shalo Yeshuach Yoyser Midai, that when a person bows down at those places that he's supposed to bow down, he should not bow down excessively. And on this Gemara, the Beis Yosef and Archaim, Simon, Kuf, Chav, Zayin, Sif, Aleph, brings two Perushim. The first pshat is that based on the Rambam and Hilchas Tefillah, Perek, Tes, Halacha, Dalet, that the Rambam learns that this Halacha of Bulvad, Shlo, Yeshuach, Yosef, Medai, is speaking specifically at the time of Moedim of the Shatz, during Chazorat HaShatz, where we learned before on Yudalet Amud Beis that we are obligated to bow down when the Shliach Tzibur does Moedim. So when we bow down, we shouldn't bow down too much. As the Beis Yosef explains, really we shouldn't bow at all because we have learned there's only four places in Shmoyne Esrei where we bow down, at the beginning and the end of the first bracha, at the beginning and the end of Moedim. That's when we're saying our own Shmoyne Esrei, and we're not supposed to add to that. So when we hear the Moedim from the Shatz, really we shouldn't bow at all. However, not to bow at all would also be not correct, because it would indicate that we are like Kofar. We don't believe in that which the Shliach Tzibur is bowing down and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, as a sort of a compromise, we bow our head a little bit. As far as the bowing down during Shmoyne Esrei, we'll bow down further. But when it comes to Moedim of the Shliach Tzibur during Chazorat HaShatz, so we only bow our heads a little to show that we agree, we're not kofar in that which Shliach Tzibur is doing, but we don't bow all the way so that we should not be adding to the amounts of time that we bow down, which is only four during the Shmoyne Esrei. So learns the Beis Yosef Pshat in the Rambam. There is a second pshat that the Beis Yosef brings, and that is that Bilvad Shlo Yeshuach Yosef Medai refers not only to our bowing down by Moedim, but actually it refers to all the times that we bow down, even during Shmoyne Esrei. And what this halacha is telling us is that we're not supposed to bow down too far. We shouldn't bow down all the way to our stomach, because that is an indication of yura, of gaiva, and therefore we should not do it. Amar Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya said, Ubelchud de lo yavid kehadein charduna. When a person bows down, he shouldn't bow down like that animal called a ferret, which is similar to a weasel. And the way a ferret moves on the ground, his body is right next to the ground, bent down, but his head remains erect. So even though we just learned you're not supposed to bow down too much, but on the other hand, we have to bow our head, and we shouldn't bow just our body and leave our head in an upright position. And where do we have a source for this? Ella kol atzmoisai taimarnu Hashem ichamaycha. All of our limbs say that there is no one like you, Hashem. So from this pasuk, Rav Yirmiya learned that the head has to be bent as well, and not only the body, kol atzmoisai. But there's another lesson to be learned from this pasuk as well. Kol atzmoisai tomarno Hashem michamoich. It would seem that at the time that we're making Baruch Ata, our head remains down even when we're saying the Shem Hashem. And on that, the Gemara comments that Milsa, the Chanan Barba, that what we're going to learn now concerning Chanan Barba, that is pliga, that argues on what Rabbi Yirmiya said. Rabbi Yirmiya indicated that one should have his head and body bowed down, even when he says Hashem's name in the bracha. Chanan Barba would argue on that. Chanan Barba Amar Lechavraya. Chanan Barba said to the Tamidi Chachamim, the group in the Beis HaMedrash, Neimer Lechon Milsatava, let me tell you, let me repeat to you a good thing. The Chamis that I saw, L'Rav Ovid, that Rav did, V'Amrita K'mi Shmuel, and I told over this action, this good action that Rav did, I repeated it to Shmuel. And when Shmuel heard what Rav did, he got up and he kissed me on my mouth. What did Rav do? Baruch Ata. When Rav said in the bracha, Baruch Ata, when he was bowing down, Shecheach, then he was bowing. But Bola Haskris Hashem, but before he would say Hashem's name, Zaykev, he lifted himself up. In other words, when he said Hashem's name, then he was already in an upward position. He was no longer bent. Shmuel Omar. And Shmuel said, Ano Amrit, I will say, Taima, I will give a reason and a basis for Rav's Hanhoga. Because the Pasuk says, Hashem Zaykev Kefufim, that Hashem lifts up those who are bent. So the way Shmuel is learning the Pasuk, that when you say Hashem's name, you're indicating, and this is a covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when you say his name, then you are in an upward position and no longer bent. Amar Ravami said, Ravami, loy mistavra. This is not sensible. I don't agree with what Shmuel said and which Rav acted on, that when he said Hashem's name, he was no longer bent. Ella, the Pasuk says, Mipnei Shemi Nachasu. Nachas means humbled. The person is humbled in front of my name, which Rav Ami is learning to mean, as you're saying Hashem's name, you're in a humbled position. You're bent down in front of the shame of Hashem. Amar Rav Avin disagreed. Ilu haviksiv bishmi nichesu. If the pasuk would have stated that in my name he's humbled, yos, then you would be correct. Then it would indicate that at the time of mentioning Hashem's name, the person is still in a bent position. But lesksiv, it's not written that way. Ella mipnei shmi nichesu. The pasuk states that in front of my name. What does that mean? Kaidim ad shalai hiskeris Hashem. Before he mentions Hashem's name, kvar nichesu. Then he's in a bent position. But when he mentions Hashem's name, then he's already in an upright position. So he disagrees with Rav Ami's interpretation of the pasuk. Rav Shmuel bar Nosam Shem Rav Chama bar Chanina, he said over a story, Ma'aseh be'echad, sheshachach Yosef b'dayit. It was someone in the presence of Rebbe. He was a shliach tzibur. And when he bowed down too far. He bowed down till his stomach. Ve'aviroi Rebbe, and Rebbe was maver him. Rebbe removed him from being the shliach tzibur. The tour in Orach Chaim, Simon Kuf Chav Zayin, understands this Gemara to mean that the whole Isser of bowing down too much is only by a Shliach Tzibur, because since he's doing it before Hesi, he's doing it in front of the whole call, so there it smacks of Gaiva. However, an individual on his own during Shemoneh Esrei, if he bows down, he could bow down to his stomach. There would not be an issue. However, the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Torah, and the Beis Yosef says that the Isser is to everyone. The story here was pertaining to a Shliach Tzibur. So if it would have been a regular person, so Rebbe would have gone over to the person and explained to him, would have given him Musser, you would have been machiach him, that what you're doing is wrong and you should not do it. However, in the case of a Shliach Tzibur, where it's done in public, there it requires a stronger remedy, and Rebbe was maver him from being a Shliach Tzibur. But we shouldn't learn from here, says the Beis Yosef, that everyone else is allowed to do it. Rav Ami said that Rabbi Yochanan have a maver. Rabbi Yochanan followed Rebbe's practice, and he was also maver a Shliach Tzibur who bowed down too much. Amalei Rabbi Chiya Barba said, Loi have a maver, he disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan was not maver the person from being a Shliach Tzibur. Elagar, he rebuked him very strongly. He sharply rebuked him, but he was not maver the Shliach Tzibur. He did not do what Rebbe did. This brings us to the end of the sugya that began a daf ago on Daf Yudalid Amid Aleph concerning bowing down during Shemoneh Esrei. Before we begin the next sugya, I just wanted to relate a question that I had, and I believe my chavrusa, Rav Moshe Rottenberg Shlita, gave a very beautiful answer. On Daf Yudalit Amid Aleph, we learned that a person should not bow down by every bracha, because the Charedim brought down from Taisus in the Bavli brachas two reasons. The second reason was Mipnei Yuara. Just like we learned now, if you bow down to your stomach, it's also gaiva. Hu adin, if a person bows down at every bracha, it's considered yuara, it's considered gaiva. And my question was that the Gemara, which follows that, states that a kohen gadol would bow down at the end of each bracha. A melech, who is even greater than a kohen gadol, would bow down at the beginning and at the end of each bracha. And some say that once he bowed down, he remained like that until he finished davening. And Rashi is quoted by the Charedim. What's the reason why by a kohen gadol and a melech we find that they used to bow down by every bracha? Said Rashi, Kol ma shehu gadol b'yoyser tzorech lahachnia ulahashmal atzmoy. The greater a person is, the more he has to make himself low. So the kohen gadol is greater than a regular person, so he bows down at the end of every bracha. The melech, who's even greater than the kohen gadol, he has to bow down at the beginning and at the end of every bracha, or he has to remain bowed down during the entire Shemoneh Esrei. So here we see clearly from Rashi that the inyan of bowing down by every bracha is adarab, a thing that causes anivus. And before we said that if you bow down at every bracha, at the beginning and at the end of every bracha, that shows, Taisa says, gaiva. So which one is it? Is it showing gaiva? Is it showing anivus? So Rav Moshe Rottenberg gave a beautiful answer. Of course, in the case of a kohen gadol or a melech, the greater you are, the more anivus you have to show. And by bowing down in the beginning and the end of each bracha, you're showing more and more anivus. But if a regular person bows down at the beginning, at the end of every bracha, the regular person is not a kohen gadol and a melech. So what are you indicating? By bowing down at the beginning, at the end of each bracha, you're indicating that, you know, I'm on the level of a kohen gadol or a melech. I have to demonstrate anivus because of how great I am. That's gaiva. By you, who are not a kohen gadol or a melech, you're a plain person, where do you think that you have to demonstrate anivus? It's only the melech and the kohen gadol have to demonstrate it. And therefore, in the case of a plain person who does that which a kohen gadol and melech are required to do, by him, in fact, it is an act of gaiva. I think it is a correct and beautiful teretz. The Gemara now brings a braisa which teaches us an important halacha concerning brachas. Elu brachas shepoischin bohen bebarach. These are the brachas where one begins the bracha with the word baruch. Kol habrachas poischin bohen bebarach. All brachas begin with baruch ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. But there's one major exception. Ve'im hoisa brachas mucha lechavrta. If there was one bracha that was right next to another bracha, kigoin kriyishma, for example, the brachas that follow the kriyishma, utfila, the brachas that follow the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, ein poischin behem bebaruch. In those brachas, we do not begin with baruch atah Hashem. Now, there is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Psachim, daf kuf dalid amud beis. Why, when you have a bracha, smuch l'chavrta, is there no bracha in the second bracha? According to Rashi, it is because, let's take the case of Shemoneh Esrei, our Gemara which speaks about tefillah, referring to Shemoneh Esrei. So the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei begins with a baruch and ends with a baruch. The next bracha does not begin with a baruch. According to Rashi, the reason is because the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, which begins with a baruch, that first part of the bracha, beginning with a baruch, goes not only on itself, but it goes on all subsequent brachas. And therefore, all subsequent brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei are pater from beginning with a baruch. However, Tosfos says it's because of the final bracha, the bracha of Magen Avram, the end of the first bracha, that is considered to be referring to all subsequent brachas. So one example our Gemara gave was Tefillah, was Shmoneh Esrei, and another example is Kriyishma. Kriyishma refers in the morning to the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv that is said after Kriyishma, and in the evening it refers to the bracha of Emes V'Emuna, which follows Kriyishma as well. Now, even though these brachas are following Kriyishma, where do we find that they're Samach L'Chavrta? They don't seem to be connected to any preceding bracha. There's Kriyishma before, not a bracha. And the answer that the Rishonim give is that even though there's a hefsik of Kriyishma in the middle, however, the brachas that follow Kriyishma are really going back to the brachas that preceded Kriyishma. And the brachas that preceded Kriyishma had a bracha in the beginning and at the end, and therefore, both according to Rashi's pshat or Tosfos' pshat, it's either the beginning of the bracha or the end of the bracha that frees the bracha hasmucha l'chavrta, that frees the subsequent bracha, that bracha does not begin emes v'yatziv in the morning or emes v'emuna in the evening, does not begin with a baruch. Hey, so Rav Yirmiyah asked a question on this klal that the Gemara stated from the Braisa, Hare Geula, what about the bracha of Geula, which we say at the Seder night? Before we drink the second kais of the Arba Kaises, we say two prakim of Halal, and then we say the bracha of Geula, which begins with Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Gaolanu V'Gaolas Avosenu Mimitzrayim. In Eretz Yisrael, the minig was that a bracha was said before saying the two prakim of Halal. And that bracha was, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvayso V'tzivanu, Ligmor Esa Halal, and others would say, Likroi Esa Halal. The question that Rabbi Yirmiyah is posing now is, we said before that Emes V'Yatziv and Emes V'Emuna are considered Smuch L'Chavrta, even though they have Kriyishma in between, but they're really a hemshech of the brachas of Kriyishma that are said before Kriyishma. And therefore, since they are considered close to the preceding brachas of Kriyishma, they do not start with a baruch. So here also, by Hallel, why do we begin the bracha of Geula with Baruch Atah Hashem? It's also Samach L'Chavrta, because it is near the bracha that precedes the saying of Halal, the bracha of Ligmor or Likroi as a Halal. So just like by Kriyishma we say that we don't start with Emes V'Yatziv and Emes V'Emuna with a Baruch, because it's Samach L'Chavrta to the brachas that precede Shema, so here too, the bracha of Geula should not begin with a baruch, because even though there's Halal in between, it's considered a follow-up of the bracha that preceded Halal, of Ligmor Esa Halal. So it shouldn't start with a baruch either. And why is it that we begin the bracha of Geula with Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Golanu V'Golas Avosenu Mimitzrayim? It begins with a baruch. This is the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah as we turn to Daf Tezvav Amud Beis to see what the Gemara answered. Says the Gemara, Shaniyahi, the bracha of Geula is different. Demar Rabbi Yochanan, and we've had this many times, that the word Demar is as if it would say De'amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Yerushalmi writes it without the Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan said, Halel im shom beis haknesses yatsa, concerning Halel, if you heard it from the shatz in shul, or you said it yourself in shul. So you are yotze with the bracha that you said in shul over the Halel. You don't make a bracha at home before you say the Halel. And in that instance, it would come out that the bracha of Geula is not smucha l'chavrta, because you do not make a bracha before the Halel at home. And therefore, they were misaken to have it in one standard that even if you didn't say Hallel in Shul, and you are saying Hallel at home, and you will be making a bracha over the Hallel at home, they left it in one way that you begin with a bracha, because sometimes it will not be Samach L'Chavrta, even though in this case it will be Samach L'Chavrta. They made it in one way that you always begin the bracha of Asher Goalanu with a baruch. Let us see the Pnei Moshe inside, who explains this. The top Pnei Moshe, Divrei HaMashal Shniyehi, Asher Goalanu. Asher Goalanu is different. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Bahalel im shama beis haknesses kimoi shenoyagin asfardim lo imroi achet filas arvus." We know that the meaning of the Sfardim is to say Hallel after Ma'ariv during the night of Pesach. The din is yotze, your yotze, the saying of Hallel. V'shuv ein tzorach levarach lo v'bayis. And then, if you repeat the Hallel at the Seder, you don't have to make a bracha at home. V'hashta lo yav your birchas ge'ula smucha. And in this instance, the bracha of Geula is not samach l'chavrta, because you're not making a bracha before Hallel, because you've already made the bracha in Shul. So since in that case you would begin the brach of Geula with a baruch, because it's not samach l'chavrta, well, lefikach tiknu oisa b'psicha lo'olam. So even if you didn't say the Hallel in Shul, and you're only saying it at home, and then you would make a bracha before the Hallel, and then it would be samach l'chavrta, and there shouldn't be a bracha at the beginning of Asher Goalanu, but the Chazal wanted to make it in one way, so they established that it's always beginning with Baruch. The Gemara now proceeds to ask another question on the Braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph. In the Braisa on Amud Aleph, we learned two Yesodos concerning saying Brachas. When the Braisa said at the bottom of Amud Aleph, Elu Brachas Shepoyschen Behem Bebaruch, Kol HaBrachas Poyschen Behem Bebaruch, the Gemara understands that this means that a regular bracha, for example, Birchas HaPeiros, begins with a baruch, but it does not end with a baruch. And then we have a second klal, V'im hoysa bracha smucha l'chavruta, ein poischen behem b'baruch. If one bracha follows another bracha, then the second bracha does not begin with a baruch. So the Gemara has just ended with a question on the second klal, that a bracha that is close to another bracha does not begin with a baruch. So we ask the question from Geula, from the bracha of Asher Goalanu, and the Gemara gave an answer to that question. And now the Gemara will ask a question on the first klal, namely, Kol HaBrachas Poischen Behem B'Baruch, which the Gemara understands to mean we start with a baruch, but we don't end with a baruch. So on that klal, Heisiv Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosa. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosa asked the following question, Kumi Rabbi Yosa, in front of Rabbi Yosa, Vaha Saifa, the same bracha of Asher Goalanu starts with a baruch, which we just explained in the previous Gemara, but it also ends with a baruch. And as the Pnei Moshe explains, and let's see it inside, the second Pnei Moshe, Divya Maslava Saifa, the fourth wide line on top of the Amud, the last word, Shehi chosemes b'baruch v'kosal kadatech doido ba'almahi v'loy havi elikimat beya hakotzer kebirchas haperis v'amai chosemen ba b'bracha. You said a klal that a regular bracha like birchas haperis, where you're thanking Hashem for the fruit that you're about to eat, starts with a baruch and doesn't end with a baruch. So why should Asher Goalanu be different? If you start it with a bracha, why make two brachas, one at the beginning and one at the end? That's the Gemara's kasha here, Vasaifa. According to your first klal, that kol brachas poischen behem b'baruch, which we understood to mean and not ending with a baruch, so why in fact does this bracha of Asher Goalanu end with a bracha? Amar lei, so Rabbi Yosa responded to Rabbi Elazar, shtayim heina. You're making a mistake. You think that the bracha of Asher Goalanu is one bracha, and it's like Birchas HaPeiros, and therefore you have a question, why does it end with a bracha? It should only start with a bracha. No, there's two brachas in that one bracha.
achas lavoi, one is in the future, va'achas l'shaver, and one is in the past. In other words, the beginning of the bracha, which is asher gol lanu v'golas avistanim mitzrayim, as the Pnei Moshe explains here, that is al shaver. We're thanking our Kadosh Baruch Hu that he redeemed us and our forefathers from Mitzrayim. But afterwards, we add on a bakasha for the future. Kain Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Yagienu L'moyadim L'grolam Acherim. We should reach other Yom Tovim, Smeichim B'vinyan Yirecha, V'sasim B'avodasecha, and we should rejoice in the building of Yerushalayim Ir HaKadosh, and we should be joyful with the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and then we say V'noichel Sham Min HaPsachim Min HaZvachim, we should eat from the Korbanis, from Korban Pesach, there in the Beis HaMikdash. So that is Lahaba. On Lahaba, we also have a bracha. So it comes out the beginning of the bracha, which is L'sha'avar, starts with a bracha and doesn't end with a bracha. The last part of Asher Galanu is a separate bracha, and it ends with a bracha, and it does not begin with a bracha. So the start of Asher Galanu starts with a bracha, doesn't end with a bracha. The end of Asher Galanu ends with a bracha and doesn't start with a bracha. And now the Gemara goes back to the klal of Brachas Mucha L'Chavrata, that you do not begin the second bracha with a bracha. Hey, Tiv, when they asked, they kash Harei Avdallah from Avdallah. Because, as the Pnei Moshe explains, in the first wide line, Shehi poiseches beborach va'afu pishi smucha lebirchas hamor. The seder that we have is to make a borei priya gafen by Avdallah, and then a bracha on the psalmim, and then the bracha over the ner, borei ma'orei ha'esh, and then to make Avdallah. And the bracha of hamavdil begins with a borach. Well, it's samach to the birchas hamor, as the Pnei Moshe explains. So why, in fact, does it start with a borach? We have a rule, if it's bracha smucha l'chavrata, you do not begin with a bracha. The Gemara answers, Shanyahi, Havdalah is different. Demar Rabbah, we know the word Demar means the Omar, the Aleph is missing. Rabbah said, Rabbah Bar Zavda explained, that Rebbe Hoya Mefazron, Rebbe would spread the brachas of Havdalah apart, V'choyzer V'koylul on Al HaKoyz, and then he would bring them all together and say it Al HaKoyz. As the Charedim explains here, four lines from the bottom of the Amid. Kishechashecha Amar Hamavdil. As soon as it became dark, he would say Hamavdil. Ukishoroya Ner. And when he would see a Ner, Oimer Barimar Eish. Then he would say the bracha over the fire. Ukishemavin loy psamim. And when they brought him psamim, Mevarchalem, then he would make a bracha on psamim. Apparently, the Charedim is learning that the Seder was first Hamavdil, and then Ner, and then Psamim, when Rebbe did it separate. And then the Charedim concludes, V'kiven shetiknu loymer kolachas levado loy mikri smuchas. Since the Chazal were mesaken that each one can be said apart from the other one, so therefore, it's not called that it's samach lechavrata to avol pi shalayefazrim eli chavrim alakoyz, even though he would not spread them out and put them all together in the koyz. Now, actually, Rebbe did both. Rebbe first separated the brachas. When darkness transpired, he right away made the hamavdil. Then, when he got fire, he made ner. He got psalm, he made psalmim. And then later, to be moitzi, the b'nei bayis, his family, he put all the brachas together, al hakoyz. So the Charedim is saying that even if a person would not have them separated, if a person would do like we do, all the brachas to begin with, al hakoyz, but since Chazal allowed a person to do it separately, even if the person decides to do them all together, al hakoyz, that's not considered bracha smuch l'chavrata, and that's why the Hamavdil begins with a bracha. Continues the Gemara, Reb Chiya Rabba, the great Reb Chiya, Hoya Mekansan, he did not do what Rebbe did to be mefazer the brachas of Avdallah, but rather he did like our minhag is to say all the brachas of Havdalah al hakoyis together. And now the Gemara continues to ask a question on the klal of a bracha that samach lechavrta, it does not start with a bracha. Hey, Tivan, they ask the question, harei nevorech. We will learn here the pshat of the Pnei Moshe. Let's see it inside. The Pnei Moshe is Divrei HaMaskel Harei Nevorech, five lines after it gets wide, on the right-hand column. Kolaymer, the Hakusha al Birchas Hazan, he. This Gemara is Kasha, although the Gemara says it's going on Nevorech, which really is referring to Zimun. When three people eat together, they say Nevorech Shechal Mishloi, and they answer Borech Shechal Mishloi V'tovei Chayinu, and that bracha, although it doesn't have Hashem's name in it, is considered a bracha. So Amai continues the Pnei Moshe, Amai poiseches b'baruch. Why does the first bracha of Birchas Hamazon begin with a baruch? Harei smucha l'birchas hazimun, nevorach shechalnu havye. It's close to the bracha of nevorach shechalnu mishloi, baruch shechalnu mishloi v'tovoi chayinu. That's how the Pnei Moshe learns the question. Now, really, if that's the question, then the Yerushalmi should have said, Harei Hazon. Hazon is samach to Zimun, and therefore it shouldn't start with a bracha. The Rajba asked this question, and the Rajba answers that had it said, Harei Hazan, we wouldn't know which bracha precedes Hazan. Hazan is the first bracha of benching. So therefore, the Gemara went out of its way to explain, in the case of Nevorah Shechal Mishloi of Zimun, which precedes Hazan, so we have a question. Why does Hazan begin with a bracha? And the Gemara answers, Shanyahi, the bracha of Hazan is different. We only say Zimun with three. If there's only two that are eating, we don't say Nevorach Shechal Mishloi. We don't answer Baruch Shechal Mishloi V'tovoich Yinu. So in those instances where there would not be a Zimun, you would have to start benching with a bracha. And since it very often happens that you start benching with a bracha because it is not preceded by Zimun, therefore the Rabbanan were mesakin that always when you start benching you begin with a bracha, although there are times when it will be samach lechavrta. And now the Gemara asks a question on the other rule that we discussed, namely that birchas haperis, or brachas similar to birchas haperis, which are short brachos of Hoidah, they begin with a baruch, and they don't end with a baruch. And l'chayr, we have a difficulty on this from the bracha of Hazan es hakoyl. Harei Hazan es hakoyl, the bracha of benching. The first bracha begins with a baruch, and then it ends with a baruch. Why does it end with a baruch, according to your rule, that a simple birchas Hoidah, when we praise Hashem, such as Birchas HaPeres, it only starts with a bracha, it doesn't end, so here it should not end. As the Pnei Moshe explains in Divrei HaMaskel Harei Hazan es hakoyl, Hai makshe nami kosal kedata dekimat beya kotzer havya. The one who's asking the question felt that the first bracha of benching is considered like a short bracha, like Birchas HaPeres v'im kein, Amai chesemes b'borach Hazan es hakoyl. So why are we ending off with a borach? You said the rule that a short bracha of Hoidah only starts with a baruch and doesn't end with a baruch. It's difficult on what you said from the first bracha of benching, on that the Gemara says, Kasha, that in fact is a question, and the Gemara remains with a question, although we have a rule, the Rashbam Bava Basra tells us there's a difference between Kasha and Tiyufta. A Tiyufta is a checkmate, there is no possible answer. On a Kasha, one could offer an answer. Perhaps the first bracha of benching is a longer bracha. It's not considered like a short birchas hadoah, like birchas haperis. It wouldn't go into the klal that a bracha begins in a short bracha. One starts with a bracha, one does not end with a bracha. Perhaps the first bracha of benching doesn't go into that rule, But the Gemara doesn't give that as an answer. It just says the word kasha, you have a point there, but apparently one could respond to the point. It's not a tiyufta, it's not a upschlag, and not a checkmate on the rule that birchas hoidah just start with a baruch and do not end with a baruch.